This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The death by suicide last week of Rutgers University student Tyler Clementi, which occurred after the online posting of private information, has been linked to several problems, including the bullying of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered youth in school and university settings. Tyler Clementi's death was the fourth highly publicized death by suicide among gay teens in the U.S. over a four-week period. The deaths come amid the release of American research showing that American LGBT students were significantly more likely than other students to experience harassment based on their sexual identity. A similar Canadian study in 2009 found that three-quarters of LGBTQ high school students felt unsafe at school, and that many of those students reported being verbally or physically harassed about their sexual orientation.
We're joined on the phone by Helen Kennedy, who is the executive director of EGAL Canada, a national organization that advances equality and justice for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans-identified people and their families across Canada. Welcome to People First Radio, Helen.
Thank you very much, and thank you for this opportunity.
Helen, EGAL Canada Human Rights Trust partnered with a number of researchers last year to complete a national survey of Canadian high school students. The study examined homophobic and transphobic incidents in schools and analyzed measures being taken by schools to combat homophobic and transphobic bullying. What did you discover about the experiences of students?
Well, we discovered that there isn't a lot being done for our LGBT youth in the education system across the country. We discovered that they're being harassed, they're being physically assaulted about their sexual orientation and gender identity. We discovered that youth of same-sex parents are being sexually harassed at school because of the sexual orientation of their parents. So this is the first time that a study of this nature has been undertaken in Canada. We've normally relied on the statistics that come out of the United States. And, you know, as tragic as these incidents are in the States in these last 2 weeks, we have a major problem here in Canada, too, that needs to be addressed, and people need to start talking about it and doing something about it.
Now, the final report from the Canadian study, which occurred in 2009, states, educators and researchers have long been aware that students experience homophobic and transphobic incidents, ranging from hearing the word gay used as a synonym for stupid or worthless, to being insulted or assaulted because of their actual or perceived sexual or transgender identity. What did you find out about school policy and school responses, or the responses of individual teachers?
Well, you know, we have had tons of anecdotal evidence for years and years in Canada that we have a problem. And the study is the first time that anything has actually been done to document it and analyze it. We discovered from the students that the schools that have inclusive policies have a much more welcoming and safe environment for LGBT students and students of LGBT parents, and also for straight students who are perceived as being gay. So a number of recommendations came out of the report, and one was the establishment of gay-straight alliances in our schools across Canada. So we have been working now for the last year and a half to 2 years to promote gay-straight alliances and clubs in schools across the country. And as a result of that, we've launched a website called mygsa.ca that gives the students the tools that they need to start gay-straight alliances. It gives educators the tools that they need to address the homophobic and transphobic language that is being used within the halls.
Tell us more about a gay-straight alliance. What is a gay-straight alliance? And then how do these clubs help deal with homophobia and transphobia on an ongoing basis?
Well, it helps in so many ways. It could be started like a social club, a human rights club. Many of the Catholic schools, for example, or the religious-based schools, would have human rights clubs, and that would be one way of addressing the issue of LGBT violence, etc., in the school system. It may start with an ally, a young student who wants to do something about an incident, perhaps, that started in the school. A a gay student may team up with another student. They would identify a teacher, a support person, an adult, and they would establish meetings. They'd possibly have fundraising events in the school. They'd talk about movies, inclusive curriculum. They might look at their school's policy to see if it addresses issues of inclusivity around race, gender, sexual orientation. And we have, I think at the moment, we have around 120 gay-straight alliances registered on the website from across the country, which is really good. So it's starting to take off, and it's a way for the students to empower themselves and create the safe space within the school system that that they need to have.
Now, Helen, when I looked at the study online, the study that we've referred to in this discussion today, it seems to me that it's the first part of a series of studies or multiple initiatives. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've taken the first part of this study and we've developed the program MyGSA. The second part of the study will look at curriculum development. It'll look at pre-service training for teachers. If we're going to ask teachers to start addressing some of these issues, they need the tools and the education themselves before they end up in the classroom. They need the resources. How do you have a safe classroom? What does that mean? What does it look like? How do you change curriculum to reflect my family with my children? So when children of same-sex parents are in the school system, that they see themselves reflected in the curriculum. Role models, LGBT role models for youth are extremely important, you know, for the young people to get to that next stage in life of adulthood and survive those high school years. And all too often, as we've seen in the States, and also we had two lesbians committed suicide in Ontario this past week, all too often they don't get through those teenage years and into adulthood. If we had concrete role models through the school system, I think that that would go a long way to addressing some of these issues.
Now, we have just a moment left with you today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add.
Well, I think, you know, we all have a responsibility to make sure that when our kids go to school, that they come home safe. Do something about it. It's not, you know, the vigils are fantastic, but pick up the phone, call your high school, call your school, ask, do you have a policy that's inclusive of LGBT students? I think that would go a long way to getting people more involved in the situation and help to alleviate some of these problems.
Thanks very much for taking the time to join us today, Helen.
Thank you for the opportunity, Kevin.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
Much appreciated. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Helen Kennedy is the executive director at EGAL Canada, a national organization that advances equality and justice for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans-identified people and their families. You can find the study, Youth Speak Up About Homophobia and Transphobia, online at egal.ca. You're listening to People First Radio. A little bit later in this segment, we speak with Spencer Chandra Herbert, who is the member of British Columbia's Legislative Assembly representing the Vancouver West End constituency. Chandra Herbert called publicly for a British Columbia gay bashing tip line and school programs to discourage hatred against gay people after a series of attacks against gay men occurred in Vancouver over the summer. We'll speak with Spencer Chandra Herbert in a moment. But first, after the death by suicide of Rutgers University student Tyler Clementi in New Jersey and a series of suicide deaths in the U.S. that occurred among gay youth experiencing bullying, TV talk show host Ellen DeGeneres made an emotional plea to stop teenage bullying. Here's what she had to say.
I am devastated over the death of 18-year-old Tyler Clementi. If you don't know, Tyler was a bright student at Rutgers University whose life was senselessly cut short. He was outed as being gay on the internet, and he killed himself. Something must be done. This month alone, there have been a shocking number of news stories about teens who have been teased and bullied and then committed suicide, like 13-year-old Seth Walsh in Tehachapi, California, 13-year-old Asher Brown in Cypress, Texas, and 15-year-old Billy Lucas in Greensburg, Indiana. This needs to be a wake-up call to everyone that teenage bullying and teasing is an epidemic in this country and the death rate is climbing. One life lost in this senseless way is tragic. Four lives lost is a crisis. And these are just the stories we hear about. How many other teens have we lost? How many others are suffering in silence? Being a teenager and figuring out who you are is hard enough without someone attacking you. My heart is breaking for their families, for their friends, and for our society that continues to let this happen. These kids needed us, and we have an obligation to change this. There are messages everywhere that validate this kind of bullying and taunting, and we have to make it stop. We can't let intolerance and ignorance take another kid's life. And I want anyone out there who feels different and alone to know that I know how you feel. And there is help out there, and you can find support in your community. If you need someone to talk to, or if you want to get involved, there are some really great organizations listed on our website. Things will get easier, people's minds will change, and you should be alive to see it.
Spencer Chandra Herbert is a member of British Columbia's Legislative Assembly, representing the Vancouver West End constituency. He joins us on the phone today. Welcome to People First Radio, Spencer.
Glad to be on the show.
What were your thoughts when you heard of the death of Tyler Clementi last week, one of a number of tragic deaths by suicide among gay youth across the U.S.?
Well, you know, I thought what I felt many times, which is that, you know, yet again, here we have a needless death over an issue which, you know, I hope and pray again and again that we'll finally come to terms with, but which is, of course, people not feeling safe to be who they are, not liking themselves because society doesn't like them, because they're marginalized or they've been othered, made to feel somewhat different and somehow not accepted in our society. And it makes me so mad because there's so much we could do to support diversity in our province, to support kids who are just coming out so that they never have to be put in such a situation.
Earlier this year, on July 26th, 2010, the Globe and Mail reported the following, that the BC New Democratic Party marked the start of Vancouver's Pride Week by calling for the province to do more to curb hate-driven violence, as statistics had pegged Metro Vancouver as one of Canada's hate crime capitals. When the bashings happened in Vancouver and then the stats about hate-driven violence emerged, were you surprised?
Well, you know, the stats are one thing, you know, where you read them, what you add up, it depends. And it could be that we just have people reporting these hate-based crimes more so in Vancouver. That, of course, hasn't been settled. But regardless of if you're the first or you're the last in hate-based crimes, there are too many. And I guess where we come from with the New Democratic Party is that we have to do whatever we can to make it so that British Columbians or people visiting our province feel safe to be who they are, because that's when you get the best out of people, is when they are loved, when they are part of a community and not pushed aside. And so that's why we called for a comprehensive approach in our education system to ensure that kids in schools know that it's okay to be out and proud, that they know it's okay to be from different racial backgrounds, to deal with different issues of disability. Unfortunately, BC has taken a real kind of backwards approach of just saying, you know, we don't think hate is a good thing, but in terms of actual programs or really getting into curriculum at school level, there's been very little done at all, aside from a few really good school boards who have taken the lead. But if you don't live in Vancouver or Victoria or one of those places where the school board's taken action, your school very well may not do anything at all to do very little to ensure students are actually appreciating each other and that the teachers are as well in terms of a systematic approach.
Now, we spoke earlier with Helen Kennedy, who is the executive director of EGAL Canada, about the 2009 Canadian study, Youth Speak Up About Homophobia and Transphobia. And indeed, one of the recommendations of that study was that provincial ministries of education advocate for the inclusion of anti-homophobia and anti-transphobia measures in safe school policies and programs, including those of Catholic schools, along with steps for the implementation of these policies. And you've said that few schools in British Columbia, or fewer than certainly could do so, have enacted these policies. What do you think will happen in the coming months and years on this issue?
Well, I know for myself and for my colleagues in the New Democratic Party, we'll continue on this because it's fundamental to our belief of how a society should function, that you need to support the diversity of your population, and that as government, that's one of the jobs that an MLA or a member of parliament or city council needs to do. So in terms of our current BC Liberal government, I've seen no indication that they're really interested in tackling this. And this has been over the last 10 years. People have laid out great policy, great ideas, things that really won't cost, you know, a lot of money, or in some cases any dollars, which would go a long way to addressing the challenges queer students face. Now, maybe this recent spate of suicides and recent high-profile attention will push the dial a little bit at the Ministry of Education and get the BC Liberals to take some action. I hope so. You know, BC has been a leader in the past. Of course, one of the first provinces in Canada to provide for gay adoption back in the 90s. But since that period, things have kind of stultified. You know, everyone else in public has started to realize that we need to treat each other in a more accepting way. And certainly popular culture has helped that along in a big way. But we can't rely on just one person saying, I'll accept you, where you might be in a situation where another five, another six may say, I don't like you because you're gay. We need a systematic approach to ensure that everyone has the full right to love and be loved for the people they are all across BC.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you.
Spencer Chandra Herbert was first elected to the British Columbia Legislature in October 2008 as the MLA for Vancouver Burrard and re-elected to serve as the first MLA for Vancouver West End in May 2009. Spencer is the official opposition critic for arts, culture, and tourism. You can find him online at spencerchandraherbert.ca.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.